You know, violence, especially against people of color, especially against poor people, has existed since there were police in this country, especially in New York, gearing up for the RNC, that it's coming in a more, dictatorial way, where they're really trying to intimidate people from dissenting, where they're really trying to say that if you talk back to me, if you don't do as I say, that I have a right to arrest you, or I have a right to beat you.
Unprovoked police aggression.
But then the police ended up following me and my brother, and they started taunting us as we were leaving the hotel. And not before long, they were running at us, and they didn't tell me I was under arrest. They didn't tell me to stop. They didn't say anything except for, you know, start pushing me and macing me in the face. My real problem is just seeing how hard it is to fight this. Like, for instance, just as far as the legal fees, like, my lawyer, it's a great lawyer that I have, but it cost her, you know, $3,000. It cost me $3,000 for this, you know, that I don't have.
That's right.
And that's just for me to not have a damn record, you know? That doesn't even say anything to the fact that I was abused or I was beat up by the police, that, you know, and, you know, it's so hard for someone that's been beaten by the police, you know, to get justice. The thing is that my charge is disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. But anybody who knows that, you know, basically, the police know that's the charge that you get if you get beat up by the police. You know, when I was taken away to, you know, to in the paddy wagon or whatever to go back to the precinct, my stepbrother asked me, he's like, yo, you know, what are y'all arresting them for? And they said, we don't know yet. So, and this is, mind you, this is after I've been maced, you know, kicked in my eye repeatedly when I was laying down handcuffed on the floor. I mean, and they still didn't know, like, why I was arrested.
You know, on the national scale, we don't always hear about what's going on in other communities around the country. I was looking today, reading some local news, and I was kind of shocked to discover how many other disturbing stories of police brutality there are going on right now, right this week. In Charleston, just about a week ago, police came into a high school with guns out and dogs on a supposed drug bust based upon something seen on the, you know, the high school security cameras. No drugs were found. The students, their rights were violated. They're charging, they're suing a class action lawsuit. In Cincinnati, a person of color was killed by the police just a few days ago. They beat him, and of course they're saying that, you know, his cause of death was not the beating itself. In Minneapolis, communities are rallying about multiple cases of police brutality.
I think the Seattle so-called peacekeepers are cowards. I think they're afraid to talk to a man straight to the face and set aside his gun. He does not have to speak through the barrel of a gun. That is an act of cowardice.
Running from the police is self-defense and preservation for most black males.
This rally is the first step in a long-term campaign to make, not beg, but to make the Seattle police stop killing our people. This is not a civil rights problem or just a black problem. This is a human rights problem that everyone should care about. Are you tired of the police murdering black men?
Yes!
Are you tired of racial profiling by the police?
Yes!
Are you tired of the mayor, the chief of police, and the city council making excuses for killer cops?
Yes!
Are you ready for action?
Yes!
Is it time to rise up and demand justice?
Yes!
Let me hear you say, we want justice.
We want justice. We want justice.
We want justice.
Say, I think I want to be a police. Are you crazy? You need to think twice. Now listen to me. You think police are like guardian angels, that they will protect you. But let me tell you about the real police. They're like vampires. In the day, they wave and smile from their cars, acting like angels. Then when night falls, they have the power to kill a life. If you want to be a police, you're going to be hated by many people. And soon you will become an animal that likes to kill people. And likes to show people that they can't mess with you because you'll kill them. People will fear you, not think you're a hero. So maybe you should think twice before being a person that likes to kill. Police are a disgrace to this country. They don't have respect for nobody. For them, people are dirt on the bottom of their shoe. All they do is look out for themselves and high-class people who live in mansions by the lake. They go around killing teens, bums, blacks, and brown people like me. Then they make up some crazy stories so they won't get busted. But one of these days, there's going to be a volcano with anger erupting like red hot fire.
David Allen Walker, Antonio Dunsmore, Edward Anderson, Lonnie Davis, Michael Ealy, Urban Bascom, William Tucker, Antonio Jackson, Beauregard Mitchell, and my fallen comrades in the Seattle chapter of the Black Panther Party. Weldon, Butch Armstead, Henry Boyer, Sidney Miller, and Alfred Postel. More than 30 people have been killed by STPD officers since 1980. In each of these cases, a six-person King County District Court coroner's inquest jury has found all the police shootings mentioned justifiable with no recommendation for prosecution. None of these officers involved were charged with a criminal act. They have been called accidents, self-defense, and mistakes without criminal intent.
No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace.
We want both officers involved in the shooting of Aaron Roberts to be fired.
I don't know if the policemen who shot these men consider themselves racist or not. It doesn't matter whether they consider themselves racist because they are part of a racist system. For us as white people, the police signify safety. For people of color, they are something to be feared. While people of color are being harassed by the racist police every day in the central area, white people who are moving in are creating 911 phone trees to increase the police patrols in these same neighborhoods.
The police that we pay our taxes to protect us, are they protecting us?
No!
I could be next. You don't have to commit a crime to be killed. You don't have to commit a crime to be murdered. But I know that it doesn't matter who you are. If you are guilty of a crime, you should pay for it, right? You should be accountable for it. But it seems to me that when we are trying a policeman downtown, that our people are afraid to say that they are guilty. And skinheads and bigots and liars, we want them removed off the police force, don't we? And out of our city. We want to run them out of town. We know that we are against police brutality and murder.
And I'm not blaming the cop on the street. Who I'm placing the blame on is their bosses. I'm blaming the city officials. I'm blaming the county officials. I'm blaming the state officials. And I'm blaming the U.S. government. On the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota, there's been something like 31 murders of Indian people. The police have investigated every one of them, and they can't find who are killing off these Indians. If they have to shoot somebody, why in the world do they have to shoot them in the body? If all they want to do is stop the guy, how come they can't shoot him in the foot? Or shoot his arm to slow him down? Why do they have to kill him to stop him? We're actually so close to a police state at this point in time.
We can see on the faces of the police, they're sneering as they ride through our communities. We can see them.
Mickey Mouse, Superman, Fantastic Four, Dick Tracy, Spider-Man, Lucky Luke, just friends, Kevin, Spider, Power Ranger, Ninja Turtles, Batman. All cops are bastards. Fuck you, the dicks. Fuck you, the dicks. All cops are bastards. Rose, Pepita, Sasha, yeah, yeah, yeah.
of November 4th, 2004. A Whitehall, Wisconsin police officer accused of sexually assaulting a 14-year-old girl pleaded no contest to charges of sexual assault and misconduct on Monday. Daniel Wineski is facing up to 7 years in prison and a $20,000 fine. The officer assaulted the girl in his squad car in 1996. Sentencing was delayed to give the victim time to prepare a written statement for the court, but the judge in the case is quoted as saying that he plans to send the officer to prison for as long as he can. A Bridgewater, New Jersey police officer who stands accused of covering up a shooting at the home of NBA star Jason Williams said he is hiring a new lawyer because his had once represented Williams on a firearms charge. Eric Alena is facing charges of witness tampering and misconduct in relation to the shooting of a hired driver at Williams' mansion in February 2002. Prosecutors say that the officer called in sick to work the day after the shooting and instead contacted witnesses to the slaying. On Monday, the retrial of three of the Oakland police officers known as the Riders finally got underway. The three are accused of beating suspects, filing false police reports, and obstructing justice. A fourth officer, who should also be on trial, is believed instead to have left the country. A judge declared a mistrial at the officers' first trial. At the height of the Riders scandal, over 100 residents complained that they were abused by dozens of officers. The city of Oakland paid an $11 million settlement to the victims of the officers. In a related story, complaints of police brutality in Oakland are up 43% this year compared with the same time last year. The Park County, Montana Sheriff's Department has been under fire in a courtroom where a former officer is suing over his unfair demotion. Officer Ed Kinnick is arguing in court that his demotion to jailer was unfair because other officers in the department frequently engaged in much worse behavior and are never punished. Kinnick was demoted because he allegedly refused to properly investigate a complaint of brutality filed against another officer, primarily at the request of the complaining witness, who did not wish to pursue the matter. He's showing evidence in court that his fellow officers engaged in political retribution, stole drugs from an evidence locker, acted officially in spite of conflicts of interest, and frequently used department computers to view pornography while on duty. Further allegations are expected to come up in testimony not yet heard by the court. A sheriff's deputy in St. Martinville, Louisiana, was arrested last Friday and charged with a sexual offense. Sharon Boudreau was arrested after information which came from a local jail about the misconduct was reported to police. The matter is still being investigated, but the officer has been charged with one count of malfeasance in office and one count of malfeasance in office sexual offense, and is free on a $5,000 bond. An Edmonton, Alberta police officer who was fired is trying to claim his dismissal was unfair because he is a depressed alcoholic. Michael Malish's official troubles started when he was bankrupted and lost his wife after he turned to alcohol following the death of his mother. In 1998, he developed an inappropriate intimate relationship with a woman who was the victim in a domestic abuse case that he was investigating. In 1999, he tried to buy crack from an undercover police officer. After he was disciplined for those two incidents, he returned to work in 2001, only to use an unmarked police car without authorization for the purpose of picking up a prostitute. He was also disciplined for this, but was not fired until he contravened his no-contact order in the case of the woman who he had had the inappropriate relationship with. The officer's lawyers are making their arguments before the Law Enforcement Review Board, who will release their decision in writing. In a related story, a Regina, Saskatchewan lawyer who was beaten and falsely arrested by Edmonton police for jaywalking dropped his complaint to the Law Enforcement Review Board because costs were prohibitive and because he says the complaints process is unfair and flawed and places too much onus for proof on the victims of police abuse. Three police officers in Scottsdale, Arizona, have lost their jobs, and another has been disciplined this week following an investigation into misconduct. Officer David Kiss is accused of engaging in unprofessional conduct, which included having sex in police stations while on duty, failing to perform duties, and falsifying reports. Officer Patricia McCormack is also accused of failure to perform duties and falsifying reports. Both officers have resigned to save themselves being fired. Two superior officers are also accused of failing to properly supervise their subordinates. One of those has retired to save himself from a demotion, and the other has been disciplined. Police in Chattanooga, Tennessee are investigating themselves after two separate brutality complaints. A videotape has been discovered that shows police beating a handcuffed man. There's also a report that police drove a homeless man out of town and pepper sprayed him. In the first incident, the chief of police restricted the duties of two officers after he saw a convenience store surveillance tape which showed officers beating and using a stun gun on a handcuffed prisoner after a police chase which took place last September. A lawsuit has been filed on behalf of the victim of that beating. Police officials also confirmed that a complaint has been filed by a homeless man who claims that Chattanooga police drove him to a nearby suburb and let him go after spraying him with a chemical. Police from another jurisdiction discovered the man and took him to hospital for treatment. A city councilman in Laurel, Mississippi has been arrested after he allegedly threatened a police officer during an altercation at a police station. The councilor claims he had gone to the station in an official capacity to lodge a complaint against an officer when the dispute took place, and that an affidavit which accuses him of threatening the officer is not accurate. The counselor had been attempting to file a police brutality complaint against Sergeant James Kirkley, who he accuses of brutalizing people in the community he represents. The counselor, who is the chairman of the town's public safety committee, says he has received four complaints about Kirkley. A former Washington, New Jersey police officer who was supposed to be serving a 3-year sentence behind bars has been released on parole after mere months. In April, a jury convicted Officer Danny Moore on charges of official misconduct and harassing his ex-wife. Moore used his official status to determine his wife's whereabouts after their separation. He also followed his wife and made harassing phone calls to her residence. He was not convicted on a more serious related charge of stalking his ex-wife. Moore began serving his sentence in June, but was released into parole this week and is now at home. Moore has filed an appeal of his conviction and is suing his ex-wife for custody of their 5 children. Lansing, Michigan police officer Darren Dusso was charged earlier this month with felony larceny for stealing drugs from a home. But it wasn't the first time the officer had been in trouble. In 2002, two different women filed complaints against the officer, claiming that he used his status as a police officer to force the women to perform sex acts on him while he was on duty. In 2003, the women sued the city of Lansing and Officer Dusso for damages. The city settled the case out of court for $280,000. Dusso was never charged in those cases, and critics are now suggesting that the failure of the department and local prosecutors to deal with the officer properly may have given him the opportunity to further damage the credibility of the police. A veteran Miami police officer suspected of being crooked when he was a narcotics detective over a decade ago was arrested on drug charges last week. Michael Flynn, an officer since 1982, was charged with trafficking heroin and possession of cocaine. He faces a possible 30 years in prison. An investigation was launched against Flynn in August after complaints were made that he used an official vehicle to pick up prostitutes on 2 occasions. During the investigation, Flynn sold drugs to undercover officers on 3 occasions. At the time he was charged, Flynn was restricted to desk duty because of a 2003 arrest for domestic violence. According to prosecutors, Flynn beat his girlfriend in her apartment, at one point shoving his gun down her throat, damaging her teeth. His trial in that case begins in January. In 1991, he and his partner at the time were investigated for perjury, official misconduct, and falsifying arrest records. In a related story, Miami police were also under fire this week for the fatal shooting death of a mentally ill man, which witnesses described as unjustified and preventable. Police statements contradict statements by witnesses who say the man was a victim of 2 brutal police officers, Millie Garcia and Della Oros. A Denver man who was arrested at gunpoint while taking out his garbage has won a $75,000 settlement from the city in his racial profiling lawsuit. The man, a veteran who was on his way home from his job as an airline mechanic, was confronted by police who shined a light into his car and then followed him home. The charges that police laid against the man were eventually dropped, and the two officers involved in the incident were disciplined. The city of Denver has admitted to no racial profiling or misconduct by agreeing to the settlement. The chief of police in Edgerton, Wisconsin, has resigned after being suspended from duty for 90 days. Chief Keith Burdick was suspended for his inappropriate conduct during an investigation of a local alderman, after which the alderman was forced to resign. The commission, which decided to suspend the chief, found that witnesses at his hearing, mainly other police officers, lacked credibility. Two Boston police officers were convicted last week of obstruction of justice in a case involving an assault by one of the two officers. In June 2000, Sergeant Joseph Lemoore assaulted a man by forcibly removing him from his car, throwing him to the ground, and striking and kneeing him in the head. The sergeant and another officer, Joseph Polito, then conspired to come up with false witnesses who gave false testimony about the beating to investigators and a grand jury eventually. Both have been found guilty on charges of conspiracy to obstruct justice, witness tampering, obstruction of justice, perjury, and subornation of perjury. The officers who have not yet been sentenced are facing a possible 20 or more years behind bars. A woman in Tennessee has filed a $250,000 lawsuit against two officers and the city of Lake City, saying that the police assaulted a 12-year-old girl. According to the lawsuit, officers Todd Johnson and Mark Shelton were executing a search warrant at the home of the girl and her mother. After forcing the girl's mother to lie on the floor, the girl was placed in a chair and forced to lift up her skirt, exposing her breasts, and ordered to pull down her pants to her knees. She was forced to stay in the chair for over 2 hours, during which Officer Johnson shot the girl's dog in the paw, directly jeopardizing the life of the girl when the bullet passed between her legs. The commander of the Delaware State Police was placed on leave last week while authorities investigate sexual harassment claims made against him in a federal lawsuit. The lawsuit, filed by a female officer, claims that L. Aaron Chaffinch told sexually offensive jokes and demeaning stories about women while at work, discussed his sexual desires and skills, and repeatedly thwarted attempts made by women to advance within the department. 12 lawsuits claiming police brutality were filed this week against the police department in Blue Island, Illinois. The brutality ranges from beatings and false arrests to unprovoked attacks by police dogs. Community activists believe that these cases are just the tip of the iceberg and that many more lawsuits will follow. The lawsuits are partly brought on by the outrage felt by the Latino community, who comprise more than 40% of residents, after the death of a 73-year-old man who was attacked by police several weeks ago. As we told you at the time, in that case, police tackled the elderly man, sending him to hospital where he died 4 days later. The man's death is still under investigation. Four police officers in Norman, Oklahoma, have been fired for taking and distributing illegal steroids. One of the officers, Kyle Sherman, is also facing criminal charges of conspiracy to deliver a controlled dangerous substance. A school district police officer in Tyrone, Pennsylvania, pleaded guilty to corruption of a minor last week. Officer Mark Fraley was immediately sentenced to 5 years probation and ordered to have no contact with the teenager who he had sex with. Two Hartford, Connecticut police officers have been arrested and then quickly released for misconduct that led to a wrongful arrest, search, and seizure. Officer Franco Sanzo and Nathaniel Orwitz tampered with and fabricated evidence used to obtain an arrest warrant. The victims say that the officers harassed them during the arrests, in addition to damaging their property and stealing jewelry and money. The officers testified that they had seen one of the arrestees selling drugs at a time when he was incarcerated on an unrelated offense. Sanzo subsequently retired from the force, and Orwitz remained suspended without pay. A so-called respected Toronto police officer, Darlene Coulis, has been charged under the Police Services Act with searching a confidential police database for non-police business, which is a serious act of misconduct. The officer is expected to be suspended, and few details are available about the nature of her inappropriate search, although it has been suggested that it could have been at the behest of her husband, who is himself a former police officer.
police. I don't like police. Because, you know, killing that I'm a dude, the Lotto dude. They shot him like 41 times. You have the wallet. You know, the stupid stuff they do. They just kill people for no reason. You know, they can. They do it for no reason. I hate it.
The lynchings that our people face those days are pretty much the same type of lynchings we get in a day. I mean, when a man could get kidnapped and taken into the precinct and get a plunger stuck into his rear end, and it's not looked at as severe as someone being demoralized and raped, and it's just looked at as they didn't take it serious to me. You understand? In my opinion. But we definitely facing that today. When a man gets shot 40 some odd times, and that's looked at as just every day, you know, we got to change that.
Since 9/11, there have been over 34 police shootings in the New York, New Jersey area, and even more throughout the nation. The most recent shooting, Timothy Stansbury Jr., 19 years old.
The officer, he should have a right to have his pistol drawn out and shoot somebody off on point blank.
What? I was outside that night, you know, and I heard the shot. Then, you know, from what I heard, he wasn't nothing he was doing wrong, you know. He was going to the party and then just opened the door, going on the roof to go across, and they shot him, you know. It's cowardly, you know what I'm saying? Point blank, period. A man don't say stop, freeze, nothing. He just shoots you.
I'm looking for this man to be indicted. He stood up to be a police officer. He did wrong, so he got to do the time.
He was killed because he was a young black man.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do?
You know what I'm saying? We can't sit back and expect them to do any different. They're programmed, they're trained, that's all they know.
I'm tired of walking up and down Nostrand Avenue, Fulton, shopping, going to school, doing what I'm supposed to do, and people acting like nothing didn't happen. Something horrible happened. It happens every single day. Something horrible happened. We can no longer keep walking around like something didn't happen. And it happens all the time to us. And it's happened to our young people. Our young people don't respect us because they don't see us speaking up. Okay? The brothers don't respect us because when the cops come and tell them, get up, to, you know, up against the wall, assume the position, you know, we just walk past. We don't go back and say, are you okay? Can I call somebody for you?
Let them know that business will not go on as usual as long as we get murdered and killed and shot down by those we pay to protect us. We need to find out who's going to protect us from our paid protectors.
We can't forget about Diallo. We can't forget about the Abner Louimas. You know, this is becoming so common, you know, and it's like once the media lose attention on it or it doesn't get that much more attention, then people just tend to forget about what's going on. A lot of us are either desensitized or intimidated because when we do try to step up, there isn't much done. You know, people make complaints to the complaint review board for the police department all the time, and a lot of their reports be found as something that was proper police procedure. And we need to have someone to actually notice what's going on. We need more people to investigate the police departments and these officers that's here out on these streets, because at any given day, it could be one of your kids. If you're black, that's the sign that they're giving us. If you're black, your kids could be subject to getting shot and killed or harassed in the street.
You know, the only true justice is for them to stop doing this and to stop killing us. And I feel like the only way that's going to happen is when we demand that they stop as a community.
Putting this cop in jail, yes, that should happen, because he was the trigger man. But we really have to put in jail the system that produces that cop.
What happened with me was the 113th precinct decided to pulverize me and pound my head into the ground and gave me 8 stitches and 3 staples for telling a young man to stay down while he was being beat down by the cops themselves. CCRB looked at the situation and said they handled it appropriately.
The police can kill, but we can keep alive. And you can keep alive by doing what you're doing, continue to march, to demonstrate.
But hopefully the cops will get through their mind, not shoot everybody. That not just us that's dying, it's people around the community that's dying also.
We can't win. No way.
search for marijuana. Policemen in the streets, searching for cali weed. Soldiers in the field, burning the cali weed. But if you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields. If you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields. Soja and the herb field, burning the cali weed. Police in helicopter, a search for marijuana. Policemen in the streets, searching for cali weed. But if you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane field. If you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane field. Police in helicopter, a search for marijuana. Policemen in the streets, searching for cali weed. Policemen in the field, burning the cali weed. But if you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields. If you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields. We don't trouble your banana, we don't trouble your corn. We don't trouble your pimento, we don't trouble you at all. So if you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields. If you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields. If you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields. If you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields. Ooh, yeah. Police in helicopter, a search for marijuana. Policemen in the streets, searching for cali weed. Policemen in the fields, boy, oh, burning the cali weed. But if you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields. If you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields.
Like I said, I'm just doing my job. It could be anything. You know, they tell us, you're out here, and I'm just doing my job. I don't care what it is.
Like, I don't understand why those people got arrested for just riding their bikes down the street. What kind of human rights is that? You don't get what's next? We're going to get arrested for walking down the street?
For saying what we want to say?
I mean, where's our human rights? Where's our constitutional rights?
Whether they're sprayed with pepper spray, or they're exposed to tear gas, or if they've been shot with rubber bullets, or what they call beanbag shotgun shells. A lot of protesters clubbed in the back, a few medics clubbed in the back. Also, a lot of people with rubber bullet injuries, sublethal weapons, a lot of headshots. The police are supposed to shoot at the ground to take out protesters' legs if they're acting in a violent manner. So far, we've been completely nonviolent, and the majority of the sublethal weaponry has been aimed at the head and chest of protesters. They've covered up their badge numbers in opposition to what their protocol is. I understand that they are trained to shoot at heads and chest, so they fight how they train, essentially. They haven't been trained in proper techniques from what I've seen. They might come back and say, yes, they have, but the majority of wounds that I've treated are above the waist, not below the waist.
The LAPD is notorious around the world for being a militaristic police force. Here this week, they attacked
illegal march and rally. They had declared it an illegal assembly and proceeded to attack on horses with batons, with pepper spray and rubber bullets. They hit legal observers with rubber bullets. They sent Ted Hayes, the leader of the homeless convention, to the hospital by hitting him in the chest with a rubber bullet. And this is part and parcel of they've had a police state mentality, but it reflects what they do day in and day out in communities of color in particular. The notorious scandal that hit the city last year was the Rampart issue, where the crash unit was carrying out all kinds of abuse and hiding it through putting drop guns on people they had illegally shot or in some cases killed or paralyzed, putting planted evidence, drugs on people. They stole drugs and sold them on the street. They were involved in running prostitution. And this is something that we think is going on around the city, this level of abuse and brutality. But one of our chancellors is actually, this is what a police state looks like, because you will see up and down the streets phalanxes of black-suited, you know, hooded riot police. They're in helicopters, they're on horseback, they're behind every building.
Stay on the sidewalks and stay out of the street for your safety. Stay out of the street for your safety.
The LAPD has just ordered everybody to stay out of the streets for their safety, and their behavior over the last few days would indicate that if you're in the streets, your safety is definitely in jeopardy.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, please move out of the intersection, up onto the sidewalks.
Yeah, make those people submit to this type of system.
They're already occupying a foreign country right here.
They call this democracy. What a farce. I've ever had to get out the dictionary and rewrite the word. Yeah. This ain't no democracy. It's a goddamn police state.
To leave the block, you must leave an entire block, or I will contain the block and anybody removed. On Fifth Row between 9th and Olympic is subject to arrest. So please continue to walk northbound off the street so you are not subject to arrest. That will include the media. I declare this an unlawful assembly. You have no right to leave here. I'd appreciate to stay here. I would appreciate everyone's voluntary cooperation. Start leaving northbound on the sidewalk so when I open the street, we don't have any problems with anybody getting hit. Thanks for your cooperation.
He's informing us with the police state that now they will arrest if we don't move to a certain distance up the street, whatever that distance the police department decides is proper. Maybe our rights are diminished to such a point in this country that there's a lot of Americans aren't even aware of it yet. Just look around us. Where have you seen such show of force to a bunch of people that seem quite peaceful to me? I don't know how you feel, but that's what I see. I'm a very peaceful man. Why do they need this police force out here?
I was right next to the cops when they were telling us that. They told me that they would beat me up if I didn't move, that it would be very, very dangerous for me.
I said I burn! I said I burn! week of November 11th, 2004. On Sunday, a Chicago police officer was arrested for counterfeiting CDs. Officer Neftali Gonzalez was arrested with as many as 25,000 pirated CDs and was charged with official misconduct and two counts of illegal use of an audio recording. Gonzalez has been relieved of his duties as a police officer. An Ithaca, New York police officer was indicted last Friday in connection with an incident last July when he and three other officers raided and destroyed a local homeless community without legal justification. Officer Kevin McKenna has been charged with official misconduct and three counts of criminal mischief. Each charge has a maximum sentence of 1 year in jail. McKenna has been released on his own recognizance. According to both police and witnesses, McKenna and three other officers entered the homeless enclave and began to destroy tarps and tents of the people who lived there, destroying and throwing furniture into a nearby waterway. Another officer, Chris Miller, was suspended without pay following the incident. The remaining two officers have not been charged by the local district attorney, who cites lack of evidence as the reason. The Ithaca police chief says that the charges resulting from the grand jury are proof that the police can be trusted to police themselves. Meanwhile, back here in the real world, 25% remains a failing grade. A deputy U.S. Marshal in Montgomery County, Maryland, who was charged after killing a man following a traffic dispute, has been denied bail by a judge after prosecutors alleged in court that the deputy had a long history of misconduct and had exhibited a pattern of violence for years. Deputy Arthur Lloyd was arrested and charged with murder last week, but didn't appear in court until Friday, which is where prosecutors made their claims about his previous conduct. Lloyd's murder charge is the result of his fatal shooting of a man who he had a dispute with in the parking lot of a shopping center on October 28th. Police acknowledged receiving 16 911 calls about the incident, including one from the victim of the shooting. Lloyd shot the man four times, the fatal shot having been fired as the victim was driving away from the deputy, desperately trying to escape death. Lloyd's wife and child had complained in the past of being beaten by him. He has been disciplined repeatedly by the U.S. Marshals Service for a number of infractions. In 1985, Lloyd bound the hands and feet of a prisoner in a jail cell and alternately abused the man and read passages from the Bible to him. Lloyd was forced to pay the prisoner $10,000 when the man sued him. Lloyd's wife had two restraining orders placed against him. In the application for one, she said that her husband had broken the kitchen door with her head. In 1999, Lloyd's son called 911 and told police that he had cuts on his face because his father had thrown him out of a window. The restraining orders were dropped, and Lloyd was never charged with a crime. His records show that he was once suspended for a period of 1 year. Civil liberties and other groups, including some representing visible minority police officers, are urging New York City Police Commissioner Raymond Kelly to abolish an internal panel he convened to re-examine complaints of police abuse during the Republican National Convention. The New York Civil Liberties Union wrote a letter to Kelly complaining that his proposed panel would increase the chances that complaints would not be taken seriously and would result in delayed proceedings against officers accused of misconduct. They also say that the panel undermines the goal of independent civilian oversight of the police. The police chief in Ludlow, Illinois, pleaded guilty to three misdemeanor charges of attempted official misconduct. Chief Rodney Webb made the plea to avoid more serious felony charges of misconduct and tampering with official records in connection with the mishandling of a DUI ticket while he was serving as Ford County Sheriff's Deputy. Webb had been serving in that jurisdiction in 2000 after former Sheriff Jeff Bond was convicted of official misconduct and compelling a confession by use of force. As part of his plea agreement, Webb cannot serve in local law enforcement for a period of 2 years and must pay almost $10,000 in fines and court costs. A sheriff's deputy in Plainfield, Illinois, has been charged for forging documents in order to have a former colleague's driver's license suspended. Deputy Daniel Smith was charged with three counts of forgery and three counts of official misconduct, all felony charges. Smith forged the documents claiming that a former deputy and friend and the man's wife were unable to drive because of a medical condition or similar circumstance. Not only did he falsely file forms claiming that they couldn't drive, but he also forged the signatures of three other deputies on the forms. His former friend eventually had his license suspended by the state, and an investigation was launched. Deputy Smith is free on bond and has been relieved of his duties with pay. The city manager in Cincinnati has released a decision which ensures that officers who suffocated a man to death in 2003 will not be disciplined for their actions, which the official describes as justified. This surprising decision came after the Citizens Complaints Authority had released their decision, which said that police had used excessive force and should be disciplined. Police killed Nathaniel Jones in the parking lot of a fast food restaurant in November 2003. The county coroner subsequently ruled that Jones was killed by suffocation. The man's family is pushing forward with a federal lawsuit. Jones was at least the 19th black man to be killed in confrontations with Cincinnati police since 1995. The police chief in Elwood, Indiana, was suspended as a result of a professional misconduct complaint filed by another officer. On Monday, the mayor of Elwood suspended Chief Toby Barker with pay and stripped him of his weapon, badge, patrol car, and keys to the police department. An officer has filed a complaint against Barker seeking a protection order, alleging that he stalked the officer on at least three occasions. The officer complained that Chief Barker's unwanted attention forced her to move to a new home. He had once showed up at her home late at night and raged because she wouldn't answer her phone. He had also attempted to get into her car on several other occasions. A former Shreveport, Louisiana police officer's brutality complaint against a current officer is being heard in court this week. Officer Janet Daly is accused of beating the former officer after she decided to investigate what she called suspicious activity. The former officer was talking on a cell phone inside his car near a local supermarket. Daly did not give the former officer a reason for searching him and hit him two times with her nightstick before placing him in handcuffs and throwing him in the back of her squad car. Daly's supervisor showed up and, recognizing the former officer, had him released without being charged. The former officer is seeking unspecified damages. A school principal from Springfield, Massachusetts, was brutalized by police last week while he was having a diabetic attack. The principal was in his car outside of a convenience store when the attack came on. A store clerk called the police when the car had been in the parking lot for about an hour. According to witnesses, unnamed officers beat the man after dragging him through his car window and suggested he was a crack addict, even after he informed him of his medical condition. The man, who is black, received medical treatment, including 18 stitches, after the attack. One officer likely involved in the attack is Jeffrey Asher, who filed the incident report, and who was suspended without pay in 1997 for kicking a black man during an arrest. According to reports in the Baltimore news media, Police Commissioner Kevin Clark has been fired. Clark became commissioner in 2003, replacing Ed Norris, who was subsequently convicted of corruption charges relating to his tenure in Baltimore. Clark's dismissal is related to a domestic incident between the commissioner and his girlfriend. He has been on leave since the altercation, which occurred in May. The domestic charge was investigated by another police department, but their report has not been released to the media, despite their attempts to acquire the documents in court. And in some better news this week, police in Oakland announced Friday that they will no longer use rubber or wooden bullets, stun guns, tear gas, and motorcycles to disperse crowds. The announcement settles part of a class action suit brought by 52 police victims from an anti-war protest in April 2003, where the police attacked demonstrators with no warning. The victims are also seeking monetary damages, and that case will be heard in court this January, settlement notwithstanding.